The women who went west during the 1800s were just as interested in finding gold, acquiring land, or pursuing a career as the men that they may have followed. And with great hope, women of the California Gold Rush, a handful of stories tell the tales of how women helped build the West, including hotel keeper Luzina Stanley Wilson. I'll give you $5 for one of those biscuits, ma'am. That offer came from a rugged-looking man obviously used to the hardships of living in a gold camp, cooking over an open fire, and eating biscuits and beans and not much else. Busy with supper for her husband and two children, the pioneer woman found it was no problem to add a little more flour and water to the mixing bowl. When the pan full of golden biscuits was pulled from the fire, the miner went on his way, biscuits in hand, and the grateful woman had a shiny $5 gold piece. That gold piece was the beginning of the fortune that Luzina Stanley Wilson created in 1849 from her way with light biscuits and clean beds. Women were dentists, photographers, writers, and artists. Many of them made it on their own. But the untamed West produced some untamed lovers like Doc Holliday and Big Nose Kate, sharpshooter Frank Butler, and little sure shot Annie Oakley. And in this story from Love Untamed, Romances of the Old West, a parson's daughter climbs high into the Colorado Rockies looking for the outlaw, Mountain Jim. Isabella Bird drew in a deep breath of air so pure it made her giddy. Her heart beat faster. The long climb high into Colorado's Rocky Mountains was almost at an end. The trail before her opened into a narrow valley. A small, dark building with smoke eddying from the roof gave promise that the man she'd come so far to find was at home. She'd been warned against this journey, warned against seeking out this outlaw. Gently bred English women were considered too delicate, too refined for this wilderness. Eyebrows were raised when it was learned that the daughter of a clergyman sought a meeting with a notorious outlaw. Rocky Mountain Jim was a desperado, a ruffian, a legend in the West, and not suitable for a lady's company. Isabella smiled to herself. The legend was almost within reach. She cocked a glance at her unhappy escort. The young man and his friend had reluctantly agreed to guide her to Estes Park, but now that they were near the lair of the outlaw, he didn't seem so eager. Isabella shaded her eyes. She saw a figure emerge from the dark cabin and kick at a barking dog. The young man at her side muttered something unintelligible and checked his gun. Isabella sat straighter in the saddle as her horse drew closer and then stopped. A one-eyed ruffian barred the trail. Dressed in ragged layers with a pistol in the breast pocket of his coat and a knife in his belt, the outlaw known as Rocky Mountain Jim gazed at her with one piercing blue eye. Isabella wondered if she'd made a mistake. It wasn't all hard riding, hard shooting, and hard work in the Old West. There was some fine entertainment to be had. Famous stars like Sarah Bernhardt and Lillian Russell, Lily Langtree, and Maude Adams blazed a trail across the West. In Gilded Girls, women entertainers of the Old West, Sacramento-born Mary Anderson becomes an international Shakespearean actress, and international star Helena Modjeska comes to Virginia City, Nevada. A cold wind blew down the canyon, carrying pellets of frozen snow and grit from the mines and the hills surrounding Virginia City, Nevada. The wind swirled through the narrow streets, bringing damp, cold air and the smell of wood smoke into National Guard Hall. A restless audience debated the prospects of entertainment this stormy evening. Could a Polish woman really deliver the goods tonight? Miners with calloused hands mingled with clean-fingered merchants and discussed the probabilities of a rousing performance. Gamblers watched the stage for signs that the mysterious Madame Modjeska would soon appear and wagered she would be unintelligible in a French play. Helena Modjeska barely spoke English, they said, with knowing looks. Her English teacher had been German, they chuckled, so the odds were good that the great tragedy would become a farce. Backstage, Helena paced the boards, running her lines and tamping down nerves. She was more than 6,000 miles from Krakow, waiting in the wings to perform a play about a Parisian who had died nearly 50 years before to an audience of Comstock miners. This brawling town of Virginia City was shocking with its gambling dens and brothels doing brisk business alongside shops, hotels, and, just one street away, churches. How could she possibly convey the pathos and the strength of the character through two language barriers in a town described as an outpost of hell? That she did so with startling success was chronicled in the Nevada Press. The Territorial Enterprise of October 23, 1877, said this: "The acting of Madame Modjeska last night at National Guard Hall was not like anything ever seen before in Virginia City. It was the perfect realization of something which we fancy is dreamed of by us all." Gun-toting women, fearless Indian princesses, Mexican heroines, and army wives like Elizabeth Custer made their own mark on the West. She wore a yellow ribbon. Women soldiers and patriots of the Western frontier brings well-deserved attention to a dozen heroines you may never have heard of, like the Angel of Goliad. A slim shadow darted toward the old church at the ruined fortress of Goliad. The smell of smoke stained the night air as the figure picked a careful path through the rubble inside the walls of the fortress. Moonlight starkly displayed the damage caused by the retreating forces of Colonel James Fannin's command. Hundreds of Fannin's men now lay on the hard ground, prisoners of General Jose Urrea, one of Supreme Commandant General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna's best commanders. Pausing in a dark corner, Francita Alavez gazed toward the southwest gate in the dull gleam of a cannon positioned to fire on any troop that might attempt a rescue of the American prisoners. She shivered in the warm night as the knowledge of their fate bowed her shoulders. She knew what the captives did not. They believed they would be returned to the United States as prisoners of war. Francita had seen the order sent by Santa Anna to execute all the prisoners. As she had at Copano Bay almost the moment she arrived in Texas, Francita vowed to save as many as she could. On the eve of Palm Sunday, March 26, 1846, she slipped into the church and began the task.
Complete with actual advertisements from both women seeking husbands and male seeking brides, Hearts West's Tales of Mail Order Brides on the Frontier includes 12 stories of courageous brides and their exploits. The Benton Brides. In the mid-1860s, more than 100 women from the small town of Ellicott City, Maryland, favorably responded to a mailed advertisement to become wives of bachelors in Oregon. Two of the adventurous ladies who agreed to make the trip kept journals of their mail-order bride travels. Their entries described their motivations to marry and what they were willing to endure and their zeal to bring stability to the unsettled West. The hard frost-covered ground cracked under Constance Rainey's fast-moving feet. She pulled a wool shawl tight around her shoulders and buried her face in her chest. The winter air blowing off the water and over the town of Ellicott City, Maryland, was frigid and sharp, but the weather was not slowing the attractive 20-year-old woman down. She lifted the hem of her long Gibson skirt out of the snow and walked with great purpose towards town hall. Before entering the building, Constance unfolded a leaflet she had clutched tightly in her hand and reread the bold print. The words, "Brides Wanted," was scrawled across the top. The advertisement, which had been mailed to every home in Ellicott City, encouraged marriageable women to consider sailing to Oregon's Willamette Valley to meet and marry the eligible bachelor of her choice. Rachel Kahn and William Silbaugh. The clump of yarn Rachel Bella Kahn was attempting to unravel was a mixture of complicated knots and tangles. The 17-year-old servant girl painstakingly worked through the mass of thick threads, rolling the straightened strands into a neat, tight ball. Chaya Kalaf, a graying older woman from Russia, watched the young woman's every move closely. After several moments, Rachel patiently and successfully transformed the snarled ball into a manageable skein. The ball of yarn was politely handed over to Chaya, and she grinned from ear to ear. "Good," she told her. "Good. You've passed the test." The teenager breathed a sigh of relief. Chaya's approval was all that was standing in the way of Rachel's marriage to the North Dakota farmer seeking her hand. "A wife of good, strong character is what I seek, but it is optional," wrote Abraham Kalaf in 1892. "To be of the Jewish faith is mandatory." Rachel Bella Kahn fit all the requirements set by the 22-year-old man. She was not the first to reply to his advertisement for a bride, nor was she the applicant Abraham had initially selected. Abraham's first mail-order bride choice reconsidered the proposal after her father persuaded her that America was too far away for her to move.
These True Stories of Women on the Western Frontier by Joanne Chatier and Chris Entz, with Great Hope, Love Untamed, Gilded Girls, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, and Hearts West are available from Globe Pequot Publishing. You can go to www.globepequot.com to order copies of the books.